Let's get our Bibles this morning, and we're going to go to the Word of God for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. Amen. Isn't this warm weather nice? It's awesome. God's good to us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise God. And he said there that after you have done the will of God, everybody say that with me, after you've done the will of God, all right, you might receive the promise. Say that with me. Receive the promise. Amen. And so, sometimes when we are walking with the Lord and we are trying to discern the will of God for our lives, trying to discern what God has for us, amen, we ask the question, what next? I've experienced salvation. I've been born again. And I want to try to touch everybody here this morning. But sometimes we ask the question, what next? What am I going to do now? And what's it all about after the initial salvation experience? Well, I want to say this morning, God has more for us than what he gave us at salvation. Amen. There's a higher place. The Bible says that when we are born again, we are babes in Christ. Amen. And we're going to talk about it here this morning. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the touch of your spirit this morning. We ask you to anoint the word of God and speak to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. When the scripture here says, after you have done the will of God, that's a big thing right there, the will of God. And the will of God always leads us to the promises of God. And because God, the Lord desires to make a covenant with his people so that he can bless his people for the long run, amen, or the long haul, or the long term. Eternity is a long time, and we're going to be blessed for a long, long time if we serve him. Somebody said amen. You all need to help me here this morning. Amen. Because we're seeing in our generation today ministry, and I'm not down on ministry here this morning, but we see ministry that just focuses on the moment, how you feel, and much of the preaching is about your emotions and how to control your emotions, and much of what we see today centers around the excitement of the flesh. We're going to go because there's a certain thing happening and it's exciting, but you know as well as I do, life is not always exciting. Let's be real here this morning. Life is not always exciting. There are difficulties that we must face. There are trials that we go through. There are things that happen and we say, where is God? Amen. And why did God allow this to happen? I've had many people over the years ask me that question, and I've responded by saying, you know, it's probably not God, and it's probably not the devil. It's just life. Amen. And things happen. Things happen. And we have to deal with those things. And we have to have something in our mind and in our spirit that keeps us continuing on to go higher and higher. If you're not happy where you're at this morning, that's a good thing, because when we get settled in and all we know is what we're doing, what we've done, there becomes a discontentment there. But what we need is an attitude of striving and going higher. Anybody else want to go higher in the Lord? I want to go higher. I want to know Him more in the power of His Spirit and know Him more in the power of His Word. And so we ask the question, I come to church, I give, I'm faithful, I try to keep my attitude right. Amen. There's so many, many different things that we face. And we say, what's next? God, what do you have for me? Amen. And that's a legitimate question. And I believe God has the answer for each and every one of us for the will of God. But I want to talk about something here that the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, we come to chapter 10 in the book of Hebrews. And there's some things in Hebrews chapter 10 that are very, very deep. And in fact, Paul was so deep in the Word, deep in his revelations, that the Apostle Peter said, now that Paul, he writes letters that are hard to understand. And they are deep. And he is, as far as I can see in the Word, he was the only apostle who was caught up in the Spirit and went to the third heaven. Wherever that is, I don't know. But he had some insight into the Word of God. Verses 1 through 6 of Hebrews chapter 10, and this will kind of bring us up to where we read the scripture this morning. He talks about the law, and he talks about the offerings, and the Lord kind of spoke to me here the other day. I was thinking about this and pondering some of this in my mind and in my heart. And Paul talks about the law, chapter 10 and verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Everybody said good things. It is a shadow of good things to come. And maybe I should have got my chalkboard out this morning, but I'm going to do my best to help us here today. God gave this to me. I want to try to give this to you this morning. And there's something about the law in the Old Testament. Many today have written off the law of the Old Testament, and there are certain parts of the law that have been written off. But you've got to understand this morning that the law falls into two categories. And one category is the civil law of God, or the ceremonial law of God. And there is the moral law of God. The ceremonial law of God, the offering of animals and sacrifices, the duties that they had every day that they did in the temple, those things have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Amen. And yet there is the other part of the law, and that is the moral law of God. And if you do just a little surface study into the scriptures, you're going to find that the moral laws of God are they are the same in the New Testament as they were in the Old Testament. Because what is morally right will always be morally right. And yes, there is a right and a wrong. I know that's not popular today in our generation, but there is a right and a wrong. And we determine the right and the wrong by the Word of God. But Paul said that the law gives us something, a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And I begin to think about this, and hopefully this will help us a little bit this morning. Why did God choose animal sacrifices in the Old Testament? Why did He choose a lamb? Why did He choose a goat? Why did He choose a turtle dove and a pigeon? Why did he choose a bull or anything else that is written in the law of the Old Testament? And the more I begin to think about it, the more I thought that the offering of animal sacrifices was for the sins of the people. But Paul says here that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And so, because it was a shadow of things to come, because it was not the very image, God had to deal with this thing called sin. And my friend, every single one of us here this morning are going to have to deal with that thing called sin. Amen. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's something even more serious than that. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth surely shall die. And so there is a penalty. He told Adam and Eve, he said, in the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And so God established that sin can never bring life. It will always bring death. Praise God. That's why we're seeing the situations in our world that we're seeing. Man is trying to rule his world under the canopy of sin, and it will never work. Sin will never bless your life. Sin will never do anything. There are no good promises. There are no good things here that he talks about in verse 1, good things to come. We are so self-deceiving, and we think that by living in sin that good things are going to come, but good things will not come. Sin has two aspects to it. One, it is never fulfilling, and number two, it is always progressive. It always gets worse and worse and worse. And so God knew this. The Lord knew this. And so he set up something that would be a shadow for us, an example for us in the New Testament, so that we could understand how blessed we really are. I'm thankful that I'm in the New Testament. I'm thankful that we're under the new covenant that God has given to us. And so why did he use the blood of bulls and of goats? Well, I believe that it was because bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons, they are flesh. They are flesh. And not only are they flesh, but they are sinless flesh. Amen. They never sin. They don't have the capacity to sin. And so God could not give a sacrifice, or receive a sacrifice rather, give us the commandment of a sacrifice that would be a sinful sacrifice. But there was something that was lacking, and that is that when the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a penalty of death upon the human race because of sin. And so the Lord established these sacrifices all the way through the Old Testament. And every year the sins of the people were rolled forward until the mountain of sin was so large that God said, I've got to do something about this. But the only way, amen, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, and you don't have to turn there, but it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so it was blood from flesh, that God required for the forgiveness and cleansing of sin in our lives. And so when the time comes, Scripture says, when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son. Amen. But you know who he was? He was flesh, but he was not animal flesh. He was human flesh. Praise God. He was a man, and God came down and conceived in Mary a man-child. But this was not just any old ordinary man child. If you want to write the scripture down or go with me this morning, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it talks about this man. It talks about this body that God prepared. Amen. A body so that it could be sacrificed for the sins of all humanity. But there was a requirement. Amen. The requirement was it had to be sinless flesh. Praise God. There's something about this that is so very, very awesome. It had to be sinless flesh. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born." And so it's a human being that is born in Bethlehem on Christmas morning. We'll just say it was Christmas morning. Amen. The birthday of Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So it's a male child. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. Is Jesus wonderful this morning? Counselor. He is our counselor. Amen. At age 12, he was answering the doctors and the lawyers because he is our counselor. Amen. Not only was he wonderful counselor, but the Bible says he was and is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the everlasting Father. And so all of a sudden we've got a revelation here of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was God Almighty. He didn't just send a body to do the work for him, but he was in that body. Scripture tells us that, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, amen, but he took it upon himself. And that was a paraphrase on that one. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that we could look at the mystery of God, and the mystery is that God was manifest in the flesh. And so when this body was conceived in the womb of Mary, the Bible tells us in another place that the fullness of the Godhead was in the man Jesus Christ. It was the body that God prepared, but not only a body that he conceived, and that body, that Son of God, the only begotten of God, the only one that God ever did this with and conceived in Mary, amen, was the vehicle, as the scripture says again, that it is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so when this baby was born, God Almighty stepped into that body. Well, praise God. It's a wonderful revelation. God stepped into that body. And Paul is writing about it here in chapter 10. And so when Jesus spoke the parables to them, those simple, simple parables that are so deep in their understanding, everybody looked at each other and said, "Wow, we've never heard it on this wise." And then he laid hands upon the sick and they were healed. And everybody said, "Wow, we've never seen it on this wise. What manner of man is this?" Amen. That can speak to the winds and the waves. Praise God. The Bible tells us he was not a beautiful man, but he was not comely or beautiful, but he was average and ordinary, just like you and I. Praise God. Average and ordinary. He didn't stick out in a crowd. He was not muscular. There was no glory that was around him. And the Bible says when we saw him, there was nothing in him that would draw us to his physical person. And God did it that way, I believe, because he didn't want us to glory in our flesh, but he wanted us to glory in the God that was in the man, Jesus Christ. And if you have the Holy Ghost in you this morning, amen, it should be that we live our lives so that God shines through us and not that we shine to the world. Amen. It's not about fleshly things. It's not about beautiful oratory. It's not about beautiful buildings. Amen. But what it's all about is the glory of God that we need so desperately in our lives. Without Him, I'm lost. Without Him, I have no hope. Praise God. And Paul talks about this. And that was just a little side note right there. And believe me, I'm not going to go over time this morning, so don't anybody worry. Amen. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins. And so every year they remembered their sins. They remembered that they had fallen short. And so in the Old Testament, there was nothing but guilt. There was nothing but condemnation because my sins are not washed away. They're just rolled forward another year. And there's no intimate contact with God. There's no spiritual move of God in my own personal life, especially if you were not of the tribe of Levi, because Levi was the priesthood. Amen. That was the family that went into the temple. That was the family in which the high priest came out of. And the high priest could go into the holiest of holies only once a year. So if you were of the tribe of Judah, you would never get to go into the house of God, not into the holy place. If you were in the tribe of what whichever other 11 tribes there was, you could not go in there for your whole life. You just had to wait until the high priest came out of the holiest of holies once a year, and he would tell us what God said. Amen. He would tell us. But it was a figure. It was a shadow of good things to come. And when you look at the Old Testament, it just screams out Jesus everywhere you look. Amen. Because the Bible says that He was our sacrifice for sins once and for all. Not only was He the sacrifice, but He was the high priest that offered the sacrifice. Praise God. He is everything in the Old Testament. In the altar of incense, He is the altar of incense. He is the bread of life that was there. He is the light of the world. Everything speaks of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to Him, it's not joining a church. Praise God. Amen. That's not how I get saved, is by joining the church. Amen. The way I get saved is I must be born again, as the Scripture tells us. Amen. Born again in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Very familiar scripture to any Bible student. Amen. That's where we get the term born again. And it's in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And so in this New Testament experience that we have, it is not a church experience so much as it is a salvation experience, where we come to God and we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and we give our lives to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope this is all right this morning. I feel it in my heart. I feel the Lord here this morning. I really do. And follow the Lord here this morning. That's really what I want to do, is just follow the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. There is an excitement about salvation, and there ought to be an excitement about salvation. I remember when I was just 19 years old, And I won't spend a lot of time talking about myself, but I remember when I was just a young boy and I had fallen into the trap of sin. And I could not get myself out. I was going down in my sins. My parents had passed away by the time I was a junior in high school, and basically living on my own, working a job, trying to make ends meet, and looking for something that would say, what next? Amen. What am I going to do with my life? What is it really all about? And what is the purpose for my life? Why am I here? And I was self-deceiving. A friend of mine talked about the Lord, and I didn't even want to be around him. I said, man, I don't need God. I've got my alcohol. I've got all of the things that I want. And but deep down inside, I was depressed. Deep down inside, I was not happy, but I wasn't going to tell him that. Amen. But God got a hold of my heart. I'm so thankful for that. God got a hold of my heart, and salvation came. And what a wonderful, wonderful salvation it is. Praise God. It's the gospel. It comes from the gospel. Now, can I just spend a little bit of time on this here this morning? Amen. We miss so much. By just going so fast and trying to get everyone emotionally high and then send them on their way. But it's not a pep talk here this morning. Amen. It's not a sales pitch here this morning. There is a real experience that you can have in being born again. And the Bible says it's by the gospel. Praise God. I use this a lot. I'll ask people, what is the gospel? Folks that know the Bible a little bit, folks that go to church, what is the gospel? Where is it found in the scriptures? And you get a blank look many, many times. Most of the time, you get a blank look. Well, I'm supposed to accept the Lord as my personal Savior. Well, that's true in a sense, but that's not all there is to it. Amen. There's so much more to it than that. And so what is the gospel? Paul talks about it in Corinthians, and he says, the gospel that I preached unto you is that Jesus died. Everybody said death. And that he was buried. Everybody said buried. And that he rose again. Everybody said resurrection. So he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And so if we are going to have a resurrection in our life, praise God, salvation changes you. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you live. It changes everything. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become brand new. Praise God. It's exciting to have salvation in your life. And so the death, the burial, and the resurrection, if you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that we are crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. If there's anyone here this morning that wants to get free from sin, you're in the right place. You can be free from sin, free from the power of sin. And that doesn't mean you'll be sinless, but you are free from the power of sin in your life. Amen. And so we are crucified with him. Somebody said with him. All right, so Jesus died. We must die with him. Amen. We must participate in what he did. You say, well, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go and get nailed to a cross? No, we don't get nailed to a cross. But there is something that represents, and it is called repentance. Amen. And that's where we accept the Lord as our personal Savior, is at repentance. Amen. It's where we come to the acknowledgement, I am a sinner, I need God desperately in my life, and I don't like the way that I'm living, and I'm sorry about the way that I'm living, God. I want a complete change. Amen. I want you to make my life. I'm tired of making it myself. I want you to make my life for me. Praise God. And who do you think knows better about our life, ourselves or the Lord? The Lord knows more about our life than we do. Praise God. And so we are crucified with Him. And then if you go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it talks about another aspect of what we do with Him. And it goes directly with the gospel. Praise God. And it says that we are buried with Him by baptism. Praise God. We are buried with Him by baptism. So we die in repentance, and then we are buried with Him in baptism. Everybody said, with Him. We must participate in the burial. Amen. In other words, at repentance, the old man dies. At crucifixion, you die. And at repentance, we die out to our old lifestyle. We die out to the sin in our life. We make a turn. Repentance literally means making a turn. In the Greek, it is metanoio, and it means to do an about face or turn around or to make a turn. And so when we turn ourselves to God, much is said about turning yourself to God today, and that's a wonderful thing. We need to turn ourselves to God. America needs to turn to God. Augusta needs to turn to God. El Dorado needs to turn to God. Every community in our land needs to turn to God. Amen. We are becoming quickly a godless society. Amen. A people that are surface in our experiences and our relationships. But when we turn, if we are walking, if this black speaker here is sin, we are walking to sin. And if this one over here, if the light right here is God, the longer we live in sin and the further we walk towards sin, amen, the further we get away from God. And the light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until we can't see where we're going. We make all kinds of mistakes. We hurt ourselves because we're literally in spiritual darkness. But what repentance does, what an understanding of God in our life is it turns us to the light. It may just be a dim light out in the horizon somewhere, and you don't really understand all this that's going on over there at the church. You don't understand everything in the Bible. Amen. In fact, you feel like you don't know anything. But that's all right. It's not where you're at that's so important. It's the direction that you're headed that is so important. And repentance turns yourself toward the light. And when you walk in repentance, amen, the light gets brighter and brighter. But just turning yourself is not enough. We've got to get that old past off of our back. We got to get it off of us because we can't go forward with God when we have the old hanging around. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. What a joy it was for me when all of that past was gone. You don't have to live in the past. You don't have to live in the sins of your past, but repentance turns us to God. And then when we are buried with Him, that old man that has turned, we have to say that the old man has been crucified. And the old man is now buried. Praise God. Dead and gone. The old life. Praise God. Anybody feel the Lord here this morning? I feel God in this place. I feel like there's a spirit of revelation the Lord wants to give to somebody. Amen. The direction of your life. What's next in my life? What do I need to do? And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, he said, we are buried with him by baptism. Amen. That we shall rise to walk in a newness of life. And that is the resurrection. The resurrection of the Spirit of God inside of us. And so let's use the analogy again this morning. I'm not really trying to drag this out, but we're walking in sin and we realize that we're lost and we're getting worse and worse and we make a turn. Amen. Then we bury the old man behind us. But you know what, friend? You cannot continue the walk toward the light of God unless you have a power within you that will help you every step of the way. You can't do it. Amen. You can't do it. If all you ever do in your experience with God is repent and believe on the Lord, I'm telling you, the day is going to come when you say, what's it all about? I don't feel anything. There's no joy. There's no peace in my life. Well, I tell you what, you've got to have a resurrection. And the resurrection means to stand up again, or the dead rising again. Praise God. And that's not something that's just commonplace and ordinary. That is something that is truly wonderful and exciting. Praise God. It'll transform your life. It'll transform your heart. It'll transform your mind. Amen. That we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And so we've got to have power, and that power comes by the resurrection. Amen. We are buried with him in baptism. Everybody said baptism. That's water. And then we are baptized in the Spirit. Everybody said Spirit. That's the resurrection. And so if you go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, turn with me this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I'm going to be finishing here in just a little bit. Acts chapter 2. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we see the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, pour out your Spirit upon us. Pour out the Holy Ghost upon us, God. We need a move of God desperately. Maybe I should say it this way. I need a move of God desperately. And if you feel that way, then praise God, we're going to have a move of God. They were in the upper room, they were praying, and all of a sudden there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. We can seat comfortably about 125 in here. So if the church was full this morning, that would be about the start of the New Testament church. About 120 was in this upper room. And they were praying and they were seeking after God. They prayed for about 7 days and they were seeking after God. And all of a sudden a mighty rushing wind came in when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. It wasn't a sit across the desk talking to each other, but it was a fantastic experience of joy and power and victory that came into their hearts. And in fact, it was so loud, it was so exuberant that the people that were around heard it for blocks away, which is not hard. I've been to Jerusalem and it's all stone streets, stone walls, everything is rock over there. That's why everybody throws rocks at each other, because that's about it. All there is rocks. And they heard what was going on. Do you hear that noise? What's going on? Let's go check it out. Let's go see what's happening over there. And so they came, and some opened the door and looked in, and others looked through the window. And they said, "What is this? What meaneth this? We speak the Arabian language. And here are Hebrews that only speak the Hebrew language, Galileans who only speak Hebrew, and they're speaking Arab. They're speaking a different language. What does this mean?" And Peter stood up and he said, well, others said these are drunk. Amen. They're having a wild party. Now, if somebody came in here this morning, do you think they would think we're having a wild party? Praise God. Well, some might. Amen. If they've never been to one before. But friend, if you've ever been to a wild one, you know what a wild one's all about. And you don't want to go down that road. Amen. But they had one here, and I wasn't there. I just heard about it. Amen. I don't go there anymore. But I heard about it, and it was at the rodeo place up the road here. And everybody got so excited. There was a fight in the parking lot, about 35 people involved in this fight. And they said, man, we had a great time that last night. And, you know, they get excited about their sin. Well, the Holy Ghost came in, and every single person in the church, imagine this place full, every person began to speak with other tongues. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ filled them, and they began to rejoice. Some were laughing, some were crying. Some had fallen on the ground, and who knows what else was going on. And they said, what does this mean? And Peter stood up, and he said, these are not drunk as you think. He said, they're drunk, but they're not drunk like you think. This is the power of God in their lives. And not only is it the power of God, and it is for this time here, but he said, this is what Joel, the Old Testament prophet, prophesied about. And he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. If you have a question if you're flesh or not, just pinch yourself this morning and you'll realize that you're flesh. If you're breathing this morning, you're flesh. And so Joel said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise God. There's going to be a spiritual explosion, and it happened. Amen. And so Peter began to preach. Thank God for preaching this morning. And he began to preach. This is in your Bible. I'm just going through the story here this morning. He began to preach, and the conviction of God fell in that place. And all of those people, there was thousands of them that had gathered around, and they didn't know what was going on, but there was something going on in their hearts. They knew they were sinners. They knew they needed God desperately in their life. And when the preacher began to preach, he zeroed in right on the need. And he preached for a little while, and then he got right down to it and said, you are the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You did it. He laid the sin right upon them so they could understand where they were spiritually with God. Amen. We've got so many today that just smooth over sin and never talk about it and never preach about it, never name it. But friend, it's in the Bible. It's named in the Bible. Sin is named in the Bible. Galatians 5 and verse 19 through 21. I'm not going to go there this morning, but he said, you crucified him. And conviction fell upon them. Conviction fell. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? How can we be saved? We've crucified the Lord of glory. We crucified Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Messiah, that came to save us, and we have crucified him. His blood is upon our hands. And they even said that to Pilate. They said, let his blood be upon our hands. Oh, how foolish they were. Oh, you know what? How foolish we are when we get involved in sin. How foolish we are. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody here, how foolish we are when we get involved in sin. It never brings life. It always brings death. What do we do? How can we be saved? And what was his answer? His answer was the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you can read it for yourself in Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so when we repent, we turn our back on sin, and then we are buried in baptism, and all of those sins are washed away at baptism. Praise God. And I don't have time to go into all of that. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it this way in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God. You can't walk toward the light very long without the power of God. Oh, you might be able to do it for a while. And if you're real good at it and you can do it, you're going to deal with pride in your heart. We can't do it on our own, my friend. We've got to have the Holy Ghost in our lives. And when we receive it, we're going to receive it just like they did in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is good for us today. Amen. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. And so, if you're asking the question this morning, what next? Amen. What must I do in my life? Hebrews chapter 10 talks about it. And he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Everybody said confidence. Confidence. And that word confidence there means a trusting or reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. Praise God. I've got confidence, the old song says. I've got confidence. My God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, he's going to fix it for me. Praise God. I've got confidence today. And the only way we're going to enter into the kingdom of God is we've got to have a certain level of faith and confidence that he is my only Savior. He's the only one that's going to bless my life. He's the only one. And so I have a trust this morning. I have a reliance, an assurance of mind, and a firm belief in the integrity of God. Do you believe God has integrity this morning? In the stability of God. Anybody believe that God is stable this morning? Amen. Or the truth or the reality of God. There is a God. You know, there's a lot of them that are saying it started with a big bang. You know what? I agree with that. The big bang was when God said, let there be light. Amen. That's what happened. And more and more scientists are pushing away the theory of evolution because it is mathematically impossible for it to have occurred. Amen. It is absolutely impossible by the odds for us to be what we are today. It had to happen by a super mind. Amen. And it wasn't a super mind, it was a super God. Amen. We serve a God this morning that can do anything, anytime, because he has integrity and he is real this morning. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by those that say, oh, there is no God. Amen. There is no God. Just let them go ahead and go down the road of a fool's errand. Amen. Because there is a God. The atheists are rising. Amen. All of those spirits in our day are rising up and putting down the gospel, putting down the church, putting down the ministry. Oh, but don't let that worry you this morning. Get some confidence in your heart. Amen. He never said it was always going to be easy, but he said you can make it if you hang on to my hand. Praise God. What next? I'll tell you what, you got to get a hold of God's hand. And you got to say, God, lead me today. Lead me tomorrow. Lead me this year. Do a work in my life and in my heart. Well, praise the Lord. Do something in my life. And he said, cast not away your confidence, which has a great reward. A great reward. For you have need of patience. Everybody said patience. You have need of patience. And I can say that to you this morning, but I need to say that to me this morning. Because we tend to be impatient. Right? I want it now. I want it this way. You can tell if you have patience by the way you're praying. Lord, this is what I need. God, I need you to give me enough money for a new car. God, I need you to bless me with a house so and so and such and such. And I understand believing God. I understand the promises of God. And sometimes we do that because we know that we're in the will of God. And that's fine. But there are times, the very fact that we need patience means that things don't happen when we think they should happen. When everything seems to come to a stop. When it looks like God is nowhere. God, where are you? Well, God, why haven't you fixed my problem yet? Lord, why haven't you answered my prayer yet? The word patience here means the suffering of afflictions, the suffering of pain or toil or calamity or provocation or other evil with a calm, everybody said calm. Calm. This is Webster's definition, not mine, all right? With a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness, patience may spring forth from constitutional fortitude. I don't even know what that means. That's what Webster said. Let's just stick with the first part of it here. And it says the suffering of afflictions. You know, Paul said that I may know him. We want to know him, don't we? We want to know him in the power of his resurrection. We want that part. Whatever I do is going to be blessed of God, the power of his resurrection. But he also said, in the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. Praise God. Well, I'm only going to take so much and then I'm out of here. I'm only going to put up with so much tribulation. Oh, yes. Jesus talked about it. He said, there's going to be some that are rocky soil. They don't have deepness of root. And when persecution or troubles come, they get offended. Amen. But you know what the scripture says? I know I've been quoting a lot of scripture this morning, and I'm sorry I don't have them written down. But the Bible says, great peace. Everybody said, great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, praise God. Let's look at it here this morning. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. And let's look at a scripture before we finish here this morning. I hope the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart this morning. If he'll speak to one person. Let's go to 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Here's what's next. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you believe that this morning? I believe it. Exceeding great. Not just great, but exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Well, I had faith in God one day. I gave my life to God. I was born again. Amen. What next? You've got to add to your faith virtue, which is moral purity. And to virtue, knowledge. Praise God. Listen this morning. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is very powerful. It's more than just coming and hearing sermons. What you do at home in looking at the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and trying to understand what the Scriptures are saying, amen, is vital. It is vital. The first soil that Jesus talked about was wayside ground. And it is he that hears the word and understands it not. We've got to have knowledge. We've got to have understanding. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You know what temperance is? Self-control. And to temperance, there it is again, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, everybody say that with me, if you do these things, add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, so on and so forth. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise God. I want to make it all the way. I don't want to just do it for a few years or a few days or a few weeks. Amen. We came to Augusta in February, it'd be 25 years ago, and started with an old rundown building. And what you see this morning is a lot of toil and labor, sometimes 16-hour days, just working, cleaning, fixing up, remodeling, cutting lumber. It took a long time, took a lot of money, but thank God we didn't borrow any money. We paid cash for it. And when we came here, there was one man here, just one man. And we were depositing $40 a week. You can't run a building on $40 a week. But we started digging in. And you know what? The day came. I could build it all up and brag on all the good things that happened. But you know what? There were dark days in those 25 years. There's been struggles. There's been difficulties. There's been lack of funds. There's been lack of help, lack of unity. The devil come in and stir things up. But I'm telling you what. I'm telling you what this morning, what God's looking for. He's not looking for a flash in the pan. He's not looking for somebody that's just going to be the next Apostle Paul. What he's looking for is somebody that will be faithful. Praise God. Looking for somebody that has developed patience. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Praise God. I'm walking toward the light. And sometimes I take a step back. And sometimes I go a couple steps forward. Amen. Kind of like the stock market. Up and down, up and down. But you know what? We're headed somewhere. Unfortunately, in America, we're headed somewhere. And it's not going to be good when it happens. But I'm telling you this morning, what next? I tell you, if you could take any part of this message this morning, if you haven't experienced being born again, that's what's next in your life. And if you've been born again this morning of the water and the Spirit, what next is, I read it right there for you. Praise God. Because he has called us. He has called us. 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with this scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sister Reed, would you come this morning, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 17. And Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. You know what the atmosphere was in the Corinthian church? There was ugly sin in the Corinthian church. Paul had to write two letters to them. He had to write directly to them. He had to speak to the problem. It was a troubled situation. And right in the middle of that, he's writing to these people. And in Verse 17, he said, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. No, that's not somebody's nickname this morning. Yea, yea, or nay, nay. What that simply means is yes, yes, or no, no. When I preach Jesus Christ, I say, well, maybe. Yeah, he'll do it. No, he won't do it. Off on, off on, off on. No, he said, that's not the Jesus that I'm preaching about this morning. He said, but as God is true, verse 18, our word toward you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Everybody said yes. For all the promises, for all the promises. Say that with me again. All the promises. All the promises. Not half of them. Not three-fourths of them. All of the promises. I don't want to embarrass anybody here this morning. Samantha, just feel to say this. All the promises in this book are for you. There's a high, high place that God has for you. Praise the Lord. All the promises in him. And my friend, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Praise God. All the promises in him are yes. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Amen means it's settled. It's over. The promise of healing is from me. Well, I'm not healed. Have patience. Have confidence. Continue walking. Just take another step. Well, I don't know anything. That's all right. Just take another step. Just take another step. Before you know it, all of a sudden that bright light is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And before you know it, you're going to be walking closer and closer to the Lord. And the day is going to come when he's going to catch us out of this world. And he's going to say, come on up here, church. And you talk about a place of rejoicing. Thank God. Place of victory in your life. That's what he's got for us. And it's yes and amen. Can we stand together this morning? Praise God. Can we just pray together? Somebody lift your voice with me this morning. Come on, let's lift our voices this morning and let's ask for God's help right now. We lean on you, Jesus. We need your touch this morning. God, we need your presence this morning in this place. We need the promises this morning. We're asking you, Lord, give us patience. Give us confidence this morning that when we've done the will of God, that it's in your hand now, and we're going to let you bring it to fruition. We're going to let you do your work in our lives, in our hearts, in our church. In Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. Praise God. There's a chorus that we sing, and it says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, I will trust you, and I will obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. If you've got that kind of a spirit in you this morning, I'm telling you, thou art not far from the kingdom. Praise God. You're not far at all from receiving what God has for you because it's here this morning. It's here right now. And if you'll just reach out in faith and believe God, amen, things will begin to happen that are marvelous. And if this is speaking to your heart this morning, while we sing it, I want to sing this chorus this morning. Why don't you just come and just, wherever you're at, if you're just starting, if you've been here a while, been here a long time in the kingdom of God, amen, and it's speaking to your heart, just come and let's pray together and let's believe God this morning. Sing it this morning.